Tappers, what's up? Happy Monday. Let's get going here. It is another edition of the Daily Tap. It is Monday, February 11th, halfway through the month of February. Hope you have your Valentine's Day plans, gifts, all figured out. It is always that it comes up on you quick. You got to get it done. If you haven't got your significant other anything, you can tell them about Snowtap WI blog and podcast and say, hey, these guys are great. They talk Wisconsin sports. They get it done in an efficient manner. It is a gift that keeps on giving. So we will talk about the Marquette Golden Eagles' big win against Villanova on Saturday. We will also mention the Brad Davidson controversy. Is he a dirty player? And then we'll recap what happened with the Bucks this weekend, as well as look ahead to the couple games prior to the All-Star break. Will the Bucks avoid a funk heading into the break? All right, before I get going, I did want to just quickly mention the Grammys last night. I just want to say, like, the Grammys are easily the most live tweetable award show because they have all the performances and they do so much within. It was like 3.5 hour show. It was a little long, but good times. I had a lot of fun. I know there's a little controversy with Jennifer Lopez. Miley Cyrus, I thought, won the sort of Grammys, kind of introducing herself back into the world. Kacey Musgraves obviously was the big winner of the night with her album Golden Hour. A lot of people have loved that album. I myself haven't listened to it, but I will, I think, give it a spin today at some point. I don't know if it'll be today. I'm very much becoming a music guy around like the 4 o'clock hour when I get burned out on podcasts. I listen to Ariana Grande's album on Friday, Charlie Church Review. Very, very good. Way better than I expected it to be. So, you know, I definitely will be rocking out with that. College Dropout celebrated its 15th birthday on Sunday as well. So I might have to do some dropout spins today at the gym. All right, let's go into Marquette. I did want to just mention it. I didn't have a free talk this weekend, so I needed to get my shots up, right? I just needed to get one quick one, a little heat check, a little Marcus Howard heat check. Speaking of Marcus Howard, Marquette, what a win. They win 66-65 against Villanova, one of their, I guess, rivals. Some people consider Villanova a rival. I myself do not. But I know that there's a long storied history with Villanova. National Marquette Day, the crowd was on fire. The city was on fire. It was an awesome day to be a Milwaukeean, but be a Marquette fan. I went out to Duke's. I wrote about this on WI's website. Duke's is kind of my lucky Marquette spot. I've seen 3 wins there. 3-0 watching games at Duke's. It's a great spot to watch it on Saturday afternoon because even though Marquette's playing, even though they had a packed crowd, they still keep their pricing, which is like a dollar for beer, $5 for pitchers. I mean, it was incredible. Just enjoying cheap beer all afternoon. And it was a tight game. I mean, I was really nervous down the stretch, and I don't know if I ever wavered that Marquette was going to lose this game, but man, it was not looking good. And they left that door open multiple times for Villanova to come through, and they didn't. And, you know, they were able to shut it down, and the tough defense late in the game. Phil Booth, I think, missed an opportunity to take one right to the lane, kind of like what Shamori Ponds did to Marquette on Tuesday night. But that's fine, and I will take that every time. And Villanova forced up a terrible shot that even if I think it goes in, I'm not sure it was off in time. But yeah, great win for Marquette. They now are one game back of Nova. Give Villanova its first conference loss of the year, and you ask yourself a lot how good this team is. But I think what's a real example of this. So yeah, we know Marcus Howard. Marcus Howard had 38 points. Like, Marcus Howard is the Big East Player of the Year without question. I know there'll be some buzz for Shamori Ponds, Phil Booth, Eric Paschal. Those guys will all get sort of mentioned, but no one is better than Marcus Howard. He's the Big East Player of the Year. He's the first team All-American in my mind. He is that good. But the fact that Joey Hauser and Sam Hauser had 4 points total, Joey Hauser shut out of this game, and then Sakar Anum steps up with 18 points, and basically him, Howard, and Anum were the difference in this game. I mean, they combined for 54 of the 66 points that Marquette scored on Saturday. That's fucking ridiculous. But those two guys were feeling it, and they were the hot hands, and Marquette did a great job of getting those guys the ball. I think, and I don't mean to criticize him, because I am thankful for what he did for the program, but these were the kind of games where if Andrew Rousey was cold, Andrew Rousey would force a bunch of shots, and he would kind of take Marquette out of the flow. Because Anum and Howard were hot, they were the guys getting the ball. Like, both Hausers, Theo John to a lesser degree, made sure that both those guys were touching the ball, and those guys were the players that were in the mix. And that is so important. That is so important. And this is such a team, and I think that's why everybody has rallied around Marquette. This, like, the city was on fire. Like, it was packed everywhere. Like, we had an Uber driver, shout out to Ralph. Ralph was saying, like, he's been driving Uber for 3 years. He said this was the most Marquette people he had seen for a National Marquette Day. He said he was dropping people off at 3rd Street, and the lines were like 40 deep. People were waiting outside in Dukes of all places halfway through the game because nobody was leaving. Nobody wanted to leave. Everybody was there to watch Marquette, and just an amazing atmosphere, and one that I think you could see again when the Bucks make the playoffs. But you just see how Milwaukee shows out, and that they showed their love for the Golden Eagles, and everybody came back. You have people from all walks of life, all over the country, that come back for this. It is like the homecoming for Marquette. And I think what's really smart, and you may say it's dumb, whatever, but I think it is really smart of Marquette to schedule these games against top-tier teams. So National Marquette Day, or homecoming games in football, right, are usually against lesser opponents because they want to win the homecoming game. They want to be that. And I think Marquette obviously wants to win National Marquette Day. Like, I don't think they ever want to lose National Marquette Day. But by playing a top-tier opponent, people get really fucking fired up for it. I mean, people, the arena just, A, is on fire, but B, it's a day where it's like, not only is it a, you know, Marquette's day, and it is their day in the city, but it also is like, this game matters. This game, it's not like they're playing DePaul. It's not like they're playing Providence or someone like that. It's they're playing a premier opponent. Like, they've played Villanova a bunch recently for National Marquette Day. They had a night game against Xavier when Xavier was a top-ranked team 2 years ago, and the place was absolutely ludicrous. Like, the Bradley Center was on just another one. Like, it was a night game. There haven't been many night Marquette games. They had one this year for Saturday night, but regardless, the 1:30 was a great time slot for a National Marquette Day. I mean, that is perfect. You give these kids and alumni a lot of time to just have beers and show out. And I thought it was a really great day. Like, I'm a Marquette fan, and I'm not an alumni, kind of by proxy, because my girlfriend is. But I had so much fucking fun. Like, I had such a great time just being out there and being with a bunch of people who are fans like me, and we're enjoying the afternoon. So if you're not a Marquette fan, if you didn't enjoy just the city on Saturday afternoon, I feel bad. I think it was in just an all-time atmosphere, and one that I will remember probably this year. Definitely a memory for this year from sports, no question about it. And just to add on to that, we'll talk about Marquette probably today on Mitch and I are doing Tabbing the Keg tonight, but I will add on that, you know, Marquette has probably one of the best resumes in college basketball. You look at it right now, and they've beat Louisville, they've beat Kansas State, Wisconsin, Buffalo, Villanova once, and they have a chance to, they'll have a chance to beat them again. I mean, in a couple weeks here at Villanova, where they haven't been great in the last few years, but still, they at least have that opportunity. And if they can beat Villanova at Villanova, that would be a massive win for the Golden Eagles and would just amplify their resume even more. We'll be interested to see where the bracketologists put them out. They had them as a 3 seed. They were the overall 12th seed in the, as they seeded the brackets, kind of like they do with college football, which is dumb, but it's part of sort of getting the attention on the tournament. And so that was, they were the last rung of threes, and they did lose, and that was after a loss to St. John's. So beating Villanova, I think, is only going to help their cause. And Wisconsin also was there, but Wisconsin was 16th. The Badgers right outside there, and they end up losing to Michigan. So they lose 61-52. The Badgers, I thought, played a good game. I don't think there was anything wrong with them. I said it on the blog today. You know, I think Michigan just matched Wisconsin's style. It was exactly how Wisconsin wants to play basketball. And Michigan matched their style, and they were able to score a few more points than Wisconsin. And Charles Matthews was huge. John Teske, who had a decent game in the first matchup, had a better game this one at 17-12. He took advantage of Ethan Happ going out with 3 fouls in the second half. But the kind of one of the bigger headlines of that game was Brad Davidson gets called for a hook on Teske. I actually didn't think he hooked him. I tweeted that out. I thought I knew what they were looking at right away, but I didn't think Davidson hooked him. I thought he grabbed him originally, realized what he did, and sort of broke away. But with all the scrutiny, all the attention on Davidson, he's going to be judged differently. And so how does that change Brad Davidson? And then the other question is Brad Davidson a dirty player? And man, I don't know, right? Like I'm not a Brad Davidson fan, so I want to be fair and balanced. Like I want to give you like a fair take. I don't want to give you how I feel as a fan. Like I think he's a dickhead as a fan. Okay, like I'll tell you that straight up. I think he's a dickhead. I think he plays like an asshole. But as a podcaster, as a sports blogger, and someone who covers both the Badgers and Marquette, I want to give you just kind of that middle ground of like, there are times where I really think Brad Davidson just goes overboard. And I think he just lets the game get, you know, kind of, he lets it go over the top. It overwhelms him. Like, he just tries too hard, and he just tries to do little things here and there and get away with it. He almost is like a John Stockton-like player. Like, John Stockton, for those who are unfamiliar with it, he was one of the more dirtier players in basketball. But he never really got called out on his shit, because it was the 90s. It was before Twitter. It was before the slow motion generation. So people really didn't notice it. And he was this Caucasian man who everybody seemed, who was endearing to the city of Salt Lake and Jazz fans. So nobody really called him out on it. There wasn't, the news cycle wasn't 24/7. I mean, it really wasn't that. But the fact that Davidson plays on Wisconsin, which is a premier program in the Big Ten, he's going to get a lot of eyeballs. And if Davidson was on Duke, this is a lot like Grayson Allen. I mean, whether or not Badger fans want to admit that, because Grayson Allen leaves a dirty taste in everybody's mouth, he is like a Duke player. He is like a Aaron Kraft type. Like, this is just who he is. And so the national media is going to judge him that way. And they're going to talk about how hard of a player he is. He just sometimes lets the emotions of the game go too far. That's why he hit, you know, he had the incident with Joey Hauser. And what was weird about that one too, when he, for those unfamiliar, he hit Joey Hauser squarely in the dick. Like, Joey Hauser and him like played AU together. Like, I think their fathers were like college teammates. Like, they've known each other for a long time. So to that point, it's like, I don't think he's dirty. I think it's more just he lets the game get too much in his head, and he just needs to calm down. Like, he just needs to take a seat on the bench, and an assistant coach needs to be like, Brad, you have to calm the fuck down. Like, you don't need to make every little play and try to be a pest in every situation. He just tries to get an advantage instead of really, like, just playing basketball. He's a good defender. He's a good basketball player. And I think that's going to just grow with age. And I think part of this is an immaturity thing for Davidson. So we'll see. We'll see how he's judged. We'll see what the narratives are that come out of this. He obviously goes to Michigan. They go to Michigan State on Tuesday night. That will probably not be an easy one for Davidson and crew. All right, wrapping it up with the professional basketball team in the state of Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Bucks went 1-1 this weekend. They beat Dallas on Friday night, and then on Saturday night they followed up with one of the worst losses of the year, probably the worst loss of the year, 103-83. Even without Giannis, who had a sore knee and took the night off, the Bucks were ice cold. Chris Middleton missed 13 shots. Malcolm Brogdon missed 14. Brooke Lopez missed 8. I mean, they could not hit water if they fell out of a fucking boat on Saturday night. Like, it was one of the worst efforts. Bucks just looked tired. I mean, the Bucks' legs looked completely gassed. And you worry a little bit about Chicago and Indiana this week because the Bucks, you know, there's no rest for the wicked. They will play their fourth game in 6 nights against Chicago. And then they will play their 5th and 8th against Indiana before going to the All-Star break. Like, this is not an easy task at all for the Bucks. Like, the Bucks have really had a rough schedule here in the last few weeks. I mean, nobody is doing them any favors, and you just need to get there. Like, yeah, Indiana would be a bad loss, and you'd hate to lose out on it. I mean, then the door opens for a tiebreaker for Indiana. This game kind of is a grudge match from earlier this year. Now, way different team with Victor Oladipo out, but Indiana's won a couple games since Oladipo's absence. They've kind of started to figure out how to play without him. They just added Wes Matthews as well in the buyout market. So, and Chicago, while Chicago isn't a good team, they've had a lot of close losses. Like, they aren't really losing games by a lot of points. They are doing what any team who wants, any team or any fan of a team tanking wants to happen. They're competitively losing. So they're getting close, but then they lose at the last minute. So the Bulls are playing teams tight. They had a great win against the Nets on Friday, which was really surprising for me because I've been a low-key Nets fan, mostly just because they're good to gamble with, but it was like, really? Chicago lost by that much to, or I'm sorry, Brooklyn lost by that much to Chicago. So the Bulls are well rested. They had the weekend off. They didn't play Saturday or Sunday. So they've been off since Friday. So they will come in well rested. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks takes a little while for them in this game against the Bulls team who's been much improved. So we'll see how they're able to do tonight. The Bucks, again, haven't lost consecutive games all year. You'd hate for them to limp into the All-Star break. You're so close. Just win one of, if they beat Chicago tonight, like if they beat Chicago tonight, I feel so much better about Wednesday. I'd hate for them to lose tonight and then leave the door open for the Raptors to become the one seed at the end of the, I think they could tie for the one seed lead. I don't think they could take it over from the Bucks, but still, you just sort of hate that, for Toronto to sort of reestablish themselves. And I will also add, just as we're wrapping up the show, guys, we gotta chill the fuck out with our Philly hype. I know this is ESPN driven. It drives Mitch crazy. I don't want to bring it up to him on the podcast. He probably will bring it up to me tomorrow. But, the fact is like, okay, Philly was on ESPN on Friday night against Denver, on ABC on Sunday afternoon against the Lakers. So by proxy, they just have got a ton of hype about their starting five. Kirk Goldsberry, an analytical mind, wrote a big piece about the Sixers this morning about how lethal this crunch time team can be. It's like, I get it, but Let's see how they do on the road, man. Just so everyone knows, they're 23-6 at home. They're a very good home team. They are 13-14 on the road. That is the worst road record of any top contender. They have, well, Denver is 14-14. So it's them and Denver in terms of like, and I just feel like that says a lot about you, because in the playoffs, more times than not, you're going to need to win at least once or twice on the road if you want a shot. So the fact that the Sixers are not a good road team, I do think they needs to get better. And if that starts getting better, then I'll at least worry a little bit about the Sixers. All right, that does it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with Tabbing the Keg, actually. So a little earlier than usual with Tabbing the Keg. Mitch and I will get into the booth and then Daily Tap the rest of the week. Weekend watch list. Free Talk should return Saturday. I was going to do one yesterday, and then I realized, like, I'm like, well, if I did one yesterday, I'd have to talk about Marquette, Wisconsin, and that kind of fucks with my Monday podcast. So that's why I didn't do it. But yeah, hopefully a Free Talk on Saturday. If not, weekend, probably Sunday is available with the dunk contest and everything going on. It is a slow sports weekend next weekend. So this is where you get into that nitty gritty of, the sports schedule. Get us to March. We have like 2 weeks left. All right. Take care, guys. Have a good Monday. Beer's on me.